Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good.
Hello and welcome to the SC Ballers Round 7 Q&A podcast. I'm your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Joined tonight by Danny Boy, all the way from London. Danny Boy, welcome to the question and answer podcast. Tough weekend for yourself, mate.
Yeah, very tough. Thanks for bringing it up early. Just get it out.
Onwards and upwards, mate.
Look, you know, it's my first real hard hit this week. Was looking really good coming into Sunday. I think because looking around the scores and the predicted for the weekend, I was kind of 300, 350 plus. Unfortunately, no Pappenhausen and Captain Ponga. So it's just the breaks you get sometimes. So bit of a bloody Sunday, but looking to bounce back this week.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be back. Let's get straight into the questions for today. And the first one comes in from Philip from Cronulla. Big fan of the show, big friend of the show. Is it time to burn down the Cleary halves? Is it time to burn down the Cleary Hines halves combo, or is it hold and trust the long term data? What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely no chance of breaking down Cleary Hines. Like, who do you go to at the moment? Jerome Hughes gone, Cherry Evans, Origin, and too high a price. There's no cheapies at halfback unless you're willing to take the absolute massive punt on Zavala. So what are you trading them out for? I mean, you know, give it three rounds and they could be averaging 90 plus for the next three rounds, both of them. So very much an easy hold for myself. I've got them. I had them at the start. I'm holding for the long game.
Yep. Cleary's looked fine. Like, the Panthers are obviously on a bit of a downward spiral, and that's not helping him. Like, obviously maybe he's not going to average what we were hoping, but he'll be fine. Like, they'll win some games. He'll play well. He's, you know, best player in Supercoach for the last 10 years. So Nico, on the other hand, I just think Nico could become essential for round 12. Like, we've spoken a lot about Everett. I think it's really prevailing that teams are going to be struggling for round 12 just with the way their sides are set up. And I've spoken a lot about having the premium options. And I think there's just every chance that Nico becomes that premium option for round 12. So I just don't really see the point of trading him, like you said. There's just no one out there. Jerome Hughes is still a great pod, but it's unfortunately gone a bit south for his new buyers. I'd be sticking fat if I had the hot Cleary Hines combo for now. Second question, Dan. Also from Philip from Cronulla. He wants to know about Preston's Origin chances. Is it worth holding through that risk?
Yeah, hold him at the moment. I think he's nearly a purchase this week. I had a quick look at him, 660K. Can he match the likes of David Fifita? Probably not. His base output's going to be great. If you've got him, well done. He's a hard one to bring in. I think if you've only got a lot of cash and you're looking to make some ground this week and bring in some premium guns across the board, you know, two or three, but if I've got him, I'm definitely holding. I think he's looked great the last two rounds. Bulldogs look great. He's staying on the left edge. I think Kikau's still out.
Yeah, I was going to mention Kikau. So Kikau's named in jersey 23. And if he comes back, you would have to think it's on the left. So Karaz was averaging about 15 points lower in base plus power when he was playing on the right, for whatever reason. Burton's back this week as well. He'll be hanging out on the left. I wouldn't sell. Definitely wouldn't sell Preston. He's got a great matchup this week. You'll just get the week's worth of info, see what Kikau's doing, see if he's back. I don't think I'd be buying Preston though, Dan.
No, it's a bit tough at the moment, but no, he's not a buyer when big Davey Boy is on the menu.
That ties in with a question from Mick from Old Bar, who asks, is Kikau a trap or a keeper when he returns?
Kikau's always been, for me, he's always lacked the base, and just that work rate is never there. But geez, in terms of his attacking ability, NRL wise, is just probably up there with the top second row forwards in the game. Doesn't tend to always equal Supercoach output. So he'll have some big moments in games, but maybe they're a bit too few and far between. And without that base work, it's really tough. Having said that, this year, the first two scores of 90 and 90, can you trust he's going to have that same explosiveness coming back from injury? I would probably be a little bit wary, but his price certainly is interesting if you want to take a punt on him at 520K.
The final Bulldogs question here, also from Philip. This is Philip's last question. I'm cutting you off, Phil.
Please, Philip.
Is Kiraz a must this week or wait 1 week? It is a very important question this week with Kiraz on the mind of a lot of serious Supercoach players.
Well, yeah, but we're going to have to screen Philip's questions, I think. Like, they're all just a little bit – they just don't make that much sense. I mean, Kiraz is not a must this week. He's not on the bubble. He's 700K. He's still top cash center wing, yet to prove himself completely. I love him because he, you know, obviously base plus power, offloads galore. He did look good. And I feel that he would have had to be fully fit for them to bring him back before the bye in round five. So I think he is fit from that perspective. He is a top premium center wing. He will be playing round 12, which is very good. But if you, I'd be looking to other premiums that are on the menu this week who have low break-evens, who if you don't pick up this week, they could get away with you, away from you with a big score.
So you're talking about like David Fifita there?
Yep. Ryan Pappenhausen.
if you don't own.
If you don't own, you know.
Yep. Yeah, I, with Kiraz, a couple of things nag at me a little bit. Like, there's no doubt he's 700K, so his price is 70 or roughly thereabouts. He obviously had a great year last year. He's not a massive try scorer, but he does score tries. Like, and he will score tries. Like that, Wilson's done a good job on that right edge. Wilson's probably a bit more of a natural try scorer than Kiraz. Like, people are sort of, he's a bit of a, like, been off the scene, so he's coming in and people are sort of seeing him as this big opportunity, and I don't think they're wrong. The question for me is he's coming from this sort of mystery hip injury that he's had. Like, he's got like chronic issues in his hip, which he was pain managing. Like, I just don't really know how that's going to – like, it should hold up, I guess, Dan. You're the physio and like that's probably a bit more of your world, but that's still just a nag at me. On the plus side, he's got the Bunnies this week. You know, really good matchup. He's up against Tass on that left wing. Aitken's out the left as well, so it's sort of new combos. It is a good matchup.
Yeah, you look at the try maps for South and that right edge, right wing particularly, there's a fair few tries coming through there. So it is a very tasty matchup. Day game, I believe, as well. So, yeah, look, there's nothing against Kiraz. I really want to bring him in this week. I can't afford it with the premiums. I want to go elsewhere.
Yep.
I don't think he's a must, though. So it's not like you should move heaven and earth. You shouldn't boost just because you want to get Kiraz. So I don't think he's there in that respect. In terms of the injuries you were talking about, the clarity on the hip injury just isn't there to really get a good gauge. The big thing for me was he also had the stress fracture in the back. So it sounds like there's probably a couple of things going on in his body that just weren't right. And the medical staff have just gone, let's just like give him that extended time out. Obviously preseason, he wasn't training that much. Let's just really warm him into it, get him fully right, fully fit. And he's probably there now. So I don't necessarily think those injuries are going to be too much issue going forward.
Yeah, he did have as well, like he had 6 offloads in his only game so far this year, which is obviously amazing. And if he keeps that up, that's gonna be hard to ignore. His tackle break, he didn't have too many tackle breaks in the first game. Obviously, you want to see him busting tackles. He looked good. It was a bit of a weird game against the Knights because they had those injuries early. But yeah, I'm probably gonna wait this week on Kiraz. But yeah, I think you can definitely bring him in, but not a must. Mm-hmm. Next question comes from Luke from Ranwick, who asks, he's a Galvin owner. Would you sell immediately?
I mean, with the current understanding that he's just not going to play for Tigers ever again, and I don't think they have to let him go at this stage, he's pretty much a must sell. I wouldn't be trading him to Dylan Brown, though, that's for sure. That would really hurt you. You know, Galvin goes to Parramatta and then Dylan Brown gets dropped. Like, you know,
is that make Dylan Brown? Like, I mean, look, I mean, does that make Dylan Brown an avoid for now? Like, it's probably not going to happen, but you probably just want to make sure.
Look, if I was considering, if I had to make a trade at 5'8", say the likes of Munster, Jaden Campbell, someone like that goes down, it would make me a little bit nervous to get in Dylan Brown.
I don't think you have to sell Galvin this week necessarily. I think if you do, like, there just aren't that many options at 5'8". If you have, you know, obviously you could get JC or Munster if you don't own them. It's probably a pretty easy sideways move. Like, I don't think there's any point waiting for Galvin to reconcile his differences with the West Tigers and his teammates.
Yeah, no. I think if you've got two guns 5'8" and you've got someone like an Adam Dewey, AJ Brimson in the center wing, I would probably get rid of Galvin straight away. So get one of those other guys in the center in the 5'8". I wouldn't go looking for another premium 5'8" at this stage. I'd probably go to the likes of a Carraz or a Herbie or Pappenhausen, someone you can get as an attacking premium outside back or fullback.
Luke's got another question in a little bit, but Scott on Instagram asks, how many weeks does Hirotti need to play to be a viable trading target this week? So Hirotti's the most purchased player this week. Kale Iro is on the horizon with that hamstring. There's kind of mixed reports, Dan, coming out of Cronulla that maybe he hasn't started doing anything yet, so he's at least 2 weeks away. And then there's obviously Sharks are sort of saying it could be back next week. There was some chat he was going to be named in the extended squad this week. What's the sort of range of outcomes you're looking for there for Hirotti to be able to make sure, like, to be able to be confident that he can come in this week?
I think worst case scenario, he only plays this week and then he's gone. I feel that Hirotti has the coverage for centre and wing, as we've seen him flick to the wing, or he's played most of his career on the wing, I think. Now he's at centre. He does look a bigger body. He's looking strong at the moment. And obviously that's a real point of attack at the moment, with Trindle getting a lot of ball, that left edge for the Sharks. So I really like him as a purchase this week. For my team particularly, he just really suits a downgrade in that position. And if he gets dropped next week, I'm pretty happy just to hold him as the next man up for any Sharks replacement. Potential that he plays that round 12 bye as well. Another outside back with try-scoring potential is going to be good. So I'm not too phased if he's not, because I've got the coverage elsewhere. And what I'd say is have a look at how many nuffs you have in your team. If you're carrying low numbers of nuffs at the moment, say you've only got one, zero, possibly two even, I think you can still carry three nuffs. You look at a couple of the teams highly ranked, a lot of them are carrying three nuffs. You know, C-Mac, our very own panelist from the Tuesday pods, he's carrying three nuffs at the moment and he's ranked 28. So I think he can do it this year for sure. Yep. So I don't mind. It's just, you know, you probably said it before, Matt, it's hard to carry nuffs maybe in the center wing compared to the forwards.
Yeah, only if it's a dual. Like, Kane Bradley's the obvious dual centre wing nuff this year from the Storm. He doesn't look anywhere near the squad.
It's number 19.
Yeah, I don't love carrying centre wing only nuffs. But in saying that, Hirotti's not just a clean nuff. Like, he's next man up for Sharks. Like, I think the range of outcomes on Hirotti is really good. Like, one, he could replace Stone Street on the right wing. Like, Stoney's look good scoring tries, but I think he's got a bit of an issue with his exit sets coming out of our own end. I say our own end. I'm obviously decked out in retro 1995 Cronulla gear this morning. The other is that he plays around 12. He's next man up. So anytime there's any injury in that back line, he's getting a start. So I'm with you. I really like Hirotti this week. Just given hamstrings, Dan, like Iro, and Iro's got a history of hamstrings, right? So I think they're going to be pretty cautious. If you can get Hirotti this week, next week, and then somehow also get him magic round in round 9 against the Eels, that's a very tasty matchup. Like, he's really off to the races then.
Yeah, for sure. And we've seen, you know, Fitzgibbon's got to be spooked by these, you know, these recent amount of hamstring injuries and guys that are coming back from a hamstring again, redoing it. Jarrell Skelton on the weekend, first game back, gone. Christian Tuipulotu, pre-season hamstring strain, gone round six. Yeah, there's a bit of gap between there, but we know that, you know, the biggest risk factor for doing your hamstring is having a previous one. So, and we know how important he is to the Sharks.
So important.
So important. You know, the stats on how many games they've won with Iro at centre, how vital he is out of the back, exiting their own half. Like, you know, he's been an absolute, you know, saviour for Sharks.
He's top three centres in the NRL, in my opinion. Like, just an absolute superstar. Let's get on to Dylan Egan, Dan. Could you? He's the other popular cheapie this week. Obviously, burst on the scene late in last Friday for the Dragons. They're first up tonight, which is good. So we'll see if he's going to start again or if he's on the bench. Question from Scott about him is: could you let Egan go through to the keeper if your second row forward is well set up and players still making money? And yeah, you don't really have anyone to sell.
Yeah, he's not essential. I think you missed the boat. I happily jumped on last week. I didn't play him for that 99. I mean, well done to owners who did play him, seeing that. He looks great. I don't know. Like, I'd expect there might be a switch late. And if he does start with that hour to go before the game tomorrow, then I think you should jump on. But if he's off the bench, if he's averaging 50, 140K this time of year is not that essential with everyone else generating. So you can miss him if you
Is that what he goes up if he sort of knocks around 50s from here on?
Yeah, about 50. If he gets about 50s off the bench, which I think it's just capped at. He's a 1 point per minute kind of guy. Obviously, I think the try on the weekend, Titans were done and dusted. That's a massive outlier in his game. I don't think he's going to be a try scorer. I think he's going to be a massive worker. So if he can average 65 minutes, you got to get him, but I can only see that if he's starting.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Tubes made a pretty compelling case for Egan sort of being the guy and being a flannel guy on the Tuesday pod, which I agree with, but I also think I think there's definitely a little bit of FOMO here for purchases this week. I've had him in and out of trades this week and still going to keep looking. I think you're right. If he starts, definitely get him. If he's on the bench, then you can feasibly let him go. Because, I mean, that I think if he's on the bench, I think you'll see that that's still the preferred setup for the Dragons for now. To start Luch, Egan comes on, plays a bit of edge, then plays some middle for 50 minutes, 1 PPM. So I think that's right. There is obviously a lot of positive range of outcomes for Egan as well because he's so hyped and Flano loves him that he does just end up starting in a few weeks' time, at which point you get a really strong, you know, probably 70 averaging, 65 to 70 averaging 2RF, like, which is obviously elite. So, yeah, I'm just gonna wait and see for that starting lineup tonight for Dylan Egan. A few who would you rathers here from Luke again from Randwick. Herbie Farnworth or Jacob Carraz, the two premium centre wing guns?
Why not both? I think they're both. Well,
yeah,
like,
yes, obviously you want both, but who would you rather out of the two? Who's better at the moment?
Right now, Herbie played Storm this week, Carraz played Souths. I think if you've got the cash for either both of them, I would go Carraz this week. For sure. But I would be seriously considering having plans to get Herbie next week as well. So I think those two are the kind of guys you need in the first buy rounds because they've both got huge ceilings. They've both got decent games for that buy round as well, I think. Maybe Dolphins have Bulldogs, I'm not sure. But they're both those premium, ultra-premium guys you need with high ceilings where you've only got 13 players playing, so you need some big scores.
Yeah, it's Dogs, Dolphins in round 12. Yep. The other one is David Fifita or Eliezer Katoa?
Similar, Fifita this week. I don't think he's going to be under 700K for a while if he's starting. Slight risk about him not starting again, though. We know what Dez has done recently with him.
Sorry, Dan. I really want to see this Bo Firmore or David Fifita starting like actually happen. Because yeah. that hasn't happened so far this season. Cleese Haas has started those games on the edges. When Fifita has started, Firmware started center. So Jojo Fifita's back this week, so he should play center. And Fifita and Firmware should play on the edges, but we just need to see the Dez Hasler last. Like, I don't think anyone loves a more last-minute switch than Dez.
You might remember this, Matt. Did David Fifita get named on the bench round one?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's been named on the bench every time he started from the bench.
Has he been named to start at all this season?
I don't think so. I think this has got to be his first week potentially that he's been named to start. So
okay.
Why would they change that strategy, whatever they've done, this week to then put him back to the bench? I'm not sure. So
I just wouldn't be trading anyone. Yeah, so he's been named in Jersey 15 every week. So far, actually, I don't have last week's data here, but yeah, I just think you can wait. Like, they're just make sure you got a plan. Like, you know, mostly people will be trading a Raider, I would have thought, or maybe a Hubner, or I don't know, who else people are trading to.
Well, it's probably some of the Canberra guys. So there is
the same game, and they're
in the same game, which is great. So you've got a little bit of an exit strategy there. So I'd look to do. That for me personally, I've got to flip Watson around as well for that. So, and I think I can do it as well. So you just got to look, can you still flip him out if he gets named on the bench, or are you happy just to ride the waves and hopefully gets a lot of attack coming off the bench playing 55, 60 minutes?
Specific to this question, I think if David Fifita starts this week, I think it's David Fifita over Eli Katoa for 170K cheaper, 80K cheaper. I do think that Eli is a bit off the radar this week for whatever reason. He got 65 all in base power last week. He might have had a line assist, I'm not sure. But in any case, he didn't have any attack particularly. He's still going to be really good over the next month. I'd love to own Eli.
He's priced accordingly though, 760K. Like, he's priced with a high average already. I feel you don't want to stack Storm now getting closer to the buys as well. I guess you could do it just for the absolute points over the next 4 or 5 weeks and then get rid of some of them. But I feel if you're getting Papenhuyzen and Eli Katoa, Munster, maybe an outside back from Storm, like, you're probably not going to want to drop them. So then it leaves you maybe a bit short of some premiums and some premium spots for that round 12 buy. So,
well, yeah, that's just buy planning, right? Because you can't drop Katoa because his draw's too good even through the buys. Like, he doesn't play 12 or 15, but they play the other buy rounds. So, yeah, you have to – if you buy Katoa, you're keeping him for the year, in my opinion.
Yep.
Jono from The Snap. G'day, Jono. What do you guys think of Campbell Graham as a pod option playing on the wing at 477K?
I mean, huge injury history, has not lasted, 3 or 4 games in a row for a long time. So, and I don't think with that team structure at the moment, I don't see him staying on the wing. I don't know about you, Maddie. What do you think?
I haven't actually thought about that. Who's out this week? AJ? So AJ will come in for Tass.
AJ, Tass. Tass is on another wing.
Tass will be on the left wing this week, so that's AJ's spot.
But they've got Ewan Aiken, so we know that Wayne played Ewan Aiken on the edge back row consistently at the Dolphins.
Yep.
I think he probably has his eyes set on that longer term. Maybe he's just easing him back at centre this week. They would probably then move Jai Arrow to prop and what's his name? The bloke is terrible but gets a start every week. Anyway, whoever the other prop is, they'd move him. Kepi, yep. They'd move him to the bench or out of the side. So I probably see him going back to centre in the next few weeks. Origin looming. How's South bye period looking?
So they don't play 12, but then they play all the way through to 18 before missing 19. So pretty good, but don't play 12. I just want to see Graham. I don't think, like, it feels like high risk, you know, that you're trying to look for a breakout score before everyone else wants him. I think, like, you got Latrell there as well, like playing 5'8 this week with Cody. Lewis Dodd's named in 14. Trell could easily shift back to the centres. Like, there's just a lot of uncertainty in that back line. He's cheap enough. So, look, I don't hate it. But coming back from injury, I'd probably just want to have a look.
Yeah.
Crackers from Carimbar, Dan, big fan of the big friend of the show. He's got some sit v starts this week, and he wants us to pick two of the following: Jesse Arthurs, Young GI, which is obviously Shibasaki, Toya, Tamale, and Jenkins. I think this is a bit of a conundrum that most will be facing this week, particularly around Tamale, Jenkins, and Shibasaki.
Yeah, a few names there to go on. I'll just get the list up. Arthur's is high-ish ceiling and very low floor.
Yep.
I think if you've still got him, he might be pod to play though, because a lot of people have dropped him over the last couple of rounds. So if you're going for the pod play, I think Arthur's would be there. Young GI, you're probably getting a solid-ish score. I'm not sure for both of them that the Warriors is a great matchup. Obviously, Warriors got belted last week against Storm. We know how they can rally back home. Historically, low scores potentially over in New Zealand. Night games in New Zealand, maybe slightly slippery.
There's a bit of rain. There's a bit of rain. It's meant to pour in Auckland today, yeah. And with more rain tomorrow. It's meant to clear Saturday, and that ground should be an okay nick. But yeah, it could easily still be very slippery.
Yeah. And I'm not sold. I think Broncos are just showing a couple of little things to turn me off them. You know, their back row is very lean at the moment. Reece Walsh not firing. I don't think they're necessarily going to put 30 to 40 points on the Warriors this week. So probably enough to turn me off. Toya, I've got to see it before I pick him again. Like, he's just been basing, hasn't really shown any attack recently. Tamale, very interesting. He's just got those ball hogs inside him, like the three. What do we got? Chris,
Strange,
and Hudson Young. So, like, it's very difficult to get some ball. But you know, if you're gonna pick him, like we said last week, you're probably gonna pick him against Parra. You might want to pick him against Titans. So, I think he's a bit of a play. And Jenkins is gonna be rock solid. I think good base. Hopefully, gets a try this week. So, saying all that, I'd probably go Jenkins number one. Tamale, and had a push Arthur's for the pod.
I'm a little bit more bullish on those Broncos boys than you, just given how decimated the Warriors are this week. Kurt Capel's playing center. I don't know what side. What Capel generally plays on the left, and Leotau's on the right. They had that round the other way last week during mid game with some switch ups when there was injuries in game. Mm. I'd suggest Capel plays left center and Leotau on the right, which means that. That's the they're going to have a more settled combo in that Shibasaki and Arthur's side. In saying that, that's where Ben Hunt loves to play. These sit starts are really hard this week. Jenkins is great. Like, Jenkins should have been averaging 80 over the last month. Panthers still going to get enough good ball, so I'm still with him being the play there. And then I'm coin flip between Tamale and Young GI. For that next spot, I think Arthur's is just a bit too fickle. Like, we see him score two tries and he scores 60. I actually don't think his ceiling is that much higher than these other guys. So I'd be sitting him and Toya for sure there. And then a coin flip for Young GI and Tamale for me after Jenkins. So, yeah, pretty straightforward from you there, Dan. Dan, that's the end of the questions tonight. Going to round out with a bit of captain chat. Where's your mind at with captains this week?
Jeez, we brought it up briefly pre-pod, and I was trying to get something off you to really settle my mind a little bit. I'm bringing in Pappenhausen this week. I'm still licking my wounds from last week. It feels wrong, but it feels so wrong not to bring him in against the Dolphins this week. And I feel if I'm bringing him in, I really want to captain him just to, you know, bit of a tubes move. Yep. You always captain the bloke you're bringing in this week. So at the moment I've got the captain on him, and I'll likely put the VC on Gutherson, if not Garrick, for that first game. Maybe a bounce back from Garrick at Four Pines Park, gets a couple tries, 120 plus would be nice. Gutho, we know he's got a big score in him, so one of those. And then I think other than that, it's probably the big boys. So Payne Haas, Terrell May, both got good matchups through the middles of this week.
Yeah, I think if you're Pappenhausen owner, he's the most obvious vice captain this week. I probably wouldn't want to captain him just given it's Dolphins away. In saying that, I think he's just the best captain this week generally. So I'd definitely be VC'ing and I wouldn't have a problem. I wouldn't have a problem seeing him if I had a better vice captain. I just think that the best captain opportunities are after the Melbourne game. So I'm going to have the VC on Pappenhausen, and then C will either be Cleary. I'm just going to hold the faith there. Like, Cleary's still a gun. I think you're going to get a good price on his captaincy this week because I think a lot of people will be jumping off. So Cleary, or if Fifita starts and I bring Fifita in, I think Fifita's a great captain shout against the Raiders up there at Titan Stadium, Cbus Super. And like you said, if it all goes to shit, then Payne Haas or Terrell May are still great captaincy options. They sort of play the later. May's the last game of the round, and Haas is his Saturday night. So opportunities there to captain those boys. All right, Dan, that'll see us out this morning. Nice pod. Welcome back. Hopefully you have a better weekend this weekend.
Yeah, cheers, Matty, and go get stuck into those birdie beetle show bags you got from the Easter show today.
Very pleased with myself. All right, thanks, Dan.
See you, mate.